Lunchtime is your connect time. Join Ian Bess for an hour of trending news, fascinating stories, creative dinner ideas peppered with good music. Wednesday at midday, join Ian Bess for the Lunch Bite.
Good afternoon. It's Wednesday the 5th of February 2020. It is the Lunch Bite, the first edition of the Lunch Bite. A very good afternoon to you. It's time to stand up. It's time to get off your, get away from your computers, get in your car if you've got to go fetch someone, and join me for the next hour of the Lunch Bite. I'm very excited to be hosting my own show, the first show, and I want to hear from you. What are you up to? What are you doing now between 12 and 1? You can telegram me on 061-895-1019, or you can SMS me on 34519. We've got an exciting and a jam-packed afternoon. Craig's pushing all the buttons for me, keeping me honest. And we're going to bring you some awesome ideas around dinner later. So get your thinking caps on. I want some ideas from you on what we can make for dinner later this evening. I'm going to give you a bit of stories behind the markets. We tend to always give the market indicators. I'm going to tell you some stories about the markets. Also going to talk to you about what's trending on Twitter. And I'd like to also hear from you some updated traffic reports wherever you are. You can let me know. Send me your traffic reports. You're on your way out of the office. You're on your way to schools. You're on your way to a meeting. Let me know what's happening in your part of the world. You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 12. I'm Ian Bessarabia.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bess.
That was American Authors and Best Day of My Life. It is the best day of my life. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunch Bite with me, Ian Bess. Coming up in the next half an hour, we've got some incredible stories that I've picked up today. You heard Lindiwe was having a bit of a cough during the news there. I just hope she hasn't picked up any of those strange viruses, and if she does, I hope she gets a legitimate sick note. More on that story coming up shortly. Let's just take a look quickly what's happening around in terms of some of the traffic that's happening. So if you're driving around the major area, Sandton, Rosebank, Linksfield, Glen Hazel, wherever you are, if you're going out for lunch, you're going out to a meeting, picking up your kids from school, let me know what the traffic's like out in your area. 061-895-1019 or 34519. Nothing to report major from our side. We're not picking up anything major, but if you're picking up something, I'd love to hear from you. So let's have a look at some of those news stories that's trending around the world. So most of you would have picked up, and it's the biggest one, is Jacob Zuma still claims to be a law-abiding citizen who respects the court, and that's coming from the ANC. They're coming to his defense. And if you haven't picked up on that story, that is trending around a warrant of arrest that's been issued for Jacob Zuma following his failure to appear in court and then him submitting a doctor's note, which seems to be a little bit dubious. What else is happening in the news? We're seeing some interesting stuff trending on Twitter. So just having a look at what's going on Twitter, some really interesting stories coming out on some of the local sites and international sites. Let's see what we can pick up here. So we see here this is coming out Jerusalem Post. A leading British scientist has made a significant breakthrough in the race for a coronavirus vaccine. Geez, I can't even pronounce it properly. By reducing a part of the normal development from 2 to 3 years to just 14 days. That's incredible. So we'll be following up on that story. That's coming out in the Jerusalem Post. As you know, the number is escalating in terms of the coronavirus and a lot of concern and, all actions actions and plans being put into place to ensure that this virus is contained. And there was an announcement just earlier from News24 that a South African man suspected of having the coronavirus is cleared and ready to be discharged. So a South African man who is suspected to have contracted the Delhi virus and who had been held in isolation at the Ellis Ross Hospital has been cleared, according to the Limpopo Department of Health. So that's good to hear. Okay, love to hear from you. So you're listening to the Lunch Bite on 101.9 Chai FM. You can reach out to me on 061-895-1019, or you can SMS me on 34519. If you're not driving and you're on the side of the road, you can send me a note on Facebook, or you can send me a tweet to @IanBess. Love to hear from you, and love to hear what you're up to during this hour. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bess.
Great. The time's just gone 17 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunch Bite on 101.9 High FM. We're going to pick up on some of the exciting stories that are coming out, some of the news behind the market. So a very interesting one that I just picked up, and we know that we've seen a lot of difficulties going on in the Edcon group. We saw some of the Edgar stores closing down, notably the big one in Rosebank Mall. Interesting one that came out just this morning I saw was that Edcon is offloading its CNA stores to a company called Astoria. So I guess this is something that's more positive. Instead of seeing stores closing down, they're actually being offloaded to other entities that will hopefully make a go of these business. So Edcon said yesterday that it sold 167 book, stationery, magazines and gifting stores to a consortium as part of its strategy to focus on its core business. So that probably makes a lot of sense that that Edcon is getting back to basics and trying to consolidate under their core business. And if we look back at what actually happened to Edcon was rescued by the PRC, which is the Public Investment Corporation, and that was a 2.7 billion rand lifeline last month. So the question goes out: is this seems like something that's quite positive in the sense that there's a logical and a pragmatic approach. Whereas if you look at some of the other entities and most notably what we've seen with SAA lately and also some of the other SOEs, something maybe they could learn. And if there is something to salvage and there's something or an organization or an investment company that's interested in salvaging it, give it over to them to do it rather than just bailing out something that's sinking. Love to know your thoughts. You let me know what you think about that. Should more of our SOEs be taking a more, strategic approach like Edcon have done with CNA. So you can telegram me on 0618951019 or you can SMS me on 34519. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
You're back at 20 past the hour of 12 o'clock. It is Wednesday afternoon. It's quite a warm day out there. So I know coming into the studio a little bit earlier, definitely summer is in full swing and I must say it's definitely a much more favorite time of the year for me, getting up in summer. Winter's not my favorite time of the year, but driving around, schlepping around in your cars or trying to keep cool, I know it's a pain for most of us. So, yeah, just make sure those air cons are on and you're adequately hydrated during this hot time. Just picking up on some of the other stories that came across, and this is quite a humorous one, and I know many of us have left things behind. You know, we often leave things behind and in a car. Sometimes we fly and we've left stuff on a plane and that. But Reuters is reporting here that former British Prime Minister David Cameron's bodyguard forgets his loaded gun in the plane toilet. Now, that's not something, especially if you're a bodyguard, that you want to leave lying around. So the story goes that a passenger found a loaded pistol and David Cameron's passport in an airplane toilet after the former British Prime Minister's bodyguard forgot them there. This was reported by the British media yesterday. And it talks about Cameron was on his way back from New York to London, and he had one of these what they call protection officers, and certainly something that you don't leave lying around every day. What else do they say here? The Metropolitan Police said they were taking the matter extremely seriously. I would be surprised if they weren't taking it seriously and had launched an internal investigation. British Airways said it followed Civil Aviation Authority rules, which allow UK police to carry firearms on board in specific control circumstances. Yeah, this is quite an interesting one. Yeah, we're going to be talking to Javon Greenblatt a little bit later from the CSO. They're running a very important campaign just downstairs from us here in the studio. We'll get an update on their charity fundraiser, but I'll also ask Javon the question and pose the question about gun safety and what he thinks of this story. Yeah, the time's just gone 22 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. I had to bring my own lunch into the studio today because, you know, being the first show and not really being prepared and I didn't have the time to ask you what you would suggest we eat for lunch, and we'll be chatting a little bit more about food, one of my favorite topics. But yeah, I grabbed something really quickly coming out, and I found that, like, if you if you don't overthink things, you tend to come up with something awesome. So I came up with this bagel with a combination of like a bit of leftovers from last night. So I'm going to munch into that during the next song, and I'll let you know if my experiment worked out well. Yeah, we're going to be talking about cost-effective, easy dinner recipes. So start thinking about those. I'd love to hear your ideas. You'll never have to cook a boring meal again, or you'll never have to really think about it breakfast time. What do you feel like for dinner? So yeah, the time's just gone 23 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunch Bite. Getting some, feedback in. Thank you for your messages. I'm enjoying the music and, sounds fabulous from Anonymous. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you listening in. We're going to come back just after 12:30 and get an update on what's happening around the areas. If you're going picking up at your schools and that, let us know what the traffic's like there. Are there any shortcuts that you can give fellow listeners or us so that we'll be able to get to our destinations or bypass some of that traffic? We'll be back right after this.
This is The Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
28 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. That was Black Eyed Peas and Where's the Love? Well, the love is right here, and I'm really enjoying this lunchtime with you. Had a great dig into my bagel here. I must say it was a combination of like everything I could find. So a bit of good cheddar cheese, a little bit of tuna mayonnaise, a bit of pickled cucumber, and for a last-ditch effort, I must say I was quite impressed with myself. So, yeah, great to be with you on The Lunch Bite, and hopefully we'll be able to up my game in terms of lunch. Looking at the Telegram line and SMS line, thank you for sending in your messages. Linda, good afternoon to you. Yes, Linda, I am the same person who did the holiday show over December, so thank you very much for remembering, and you are enjoying the easygoing style, very best. Glad you're enjoying that. Yeah, as you said, Linda, we're keeping it interesting, informative, and entertaining. Yeah, not in any particular order. Alrighty, let's have a look at, I've got a great one here. This one was sent to me by a good friend of mine, and he said to me that one of the biggest challenges that we have in South Africa is that we tend to overanalyze things, and we tend to get look at things that are just so complicated, and then you get a story like this that just like blows your mind. And I saw an article that just came out from IOL reporting. IOL was the big news conglomerate, for those that don't know. I didn't know that. So as you know, the South African Social Security Agency, otherwise known as SASA, has sent out a warning to parents against withdrawing social grant payments for deceased infants. Now, wow, like you got to kind of think that the system should kind of be integrated and synchronized, that first of all, these payments shouldn't be, you shouldn't be able to draw a payment from someone that's deceased. But clearly this is happening. If SASA have sent out a message, then this is going on. So the story goes on to say that this fraudulent act happens when the child passes away a few weeks or months after birth. Parents bury the child without informing Home Affairs. Okay, so maybe that's where we found the gap. And then they say parents are warned not to continue with fraudulent activities profiting on the loss of a child. It's insensitive and also a criminal offense, which will lead to arrest and prosecution by law enforcement institutions. So yeah, I have a big issue with that, a moral issue with, first of all, benefiting from, first of all, something that is illegal, but also you're kind of discrediting someone or disrespecting somebody that's passed away. We'd love to know your thoughts. Is there more that should be done, and is that like really pushing the line that you're going, or the alternative side is, are people just so desperate for money and that they'll go to any means? You can telegram me on 0618951019, or you can SMS me on 34519. So I mentioned a little bit earlier that we're going to be speaking in about 15 minutes time. We're going to be speaking to Javon Greenblatt. Javon is the director of operations at CSO. They're running a charity campaign, a charity fundraiser just downstairs. Javon's going to come in and give us an update on how they've been progressing. We'll be chatting to Javon. But before that, we're going to enter in the next couple of minutes. We're going to talk about what's cooking for dinner. So let me know your thoughts. Here we go. Let's do a bit of what's cooking for dinner. So I've come up with some ideas, and I'd love to hear your ideas for dinner. So while I'm talking through some of these, you can send some in. Good afternoon, Karen. Karen says, hello, Ian. Good to hear you. Enjoy your salmi. Thank you. I am enjoying my salmi, Karen. Going to make something similar. Good stuff, Karen. Let us know how it goes. I'd love to know what you're putting on that salmi. So yeah, the most important thing. So what we're looking for when you send in your ideas for dinner, we're looking for basically three components. It's got to be cheap, it's got to be easy, and let's make it exciting. You know, nobody wants a boring meal. So cheap, easy, and exciting. And let's see what you come up with. Also getting a, we were talking a little bit earlier about Edcon and CNA selling out their CNA stores. I got a mention here from a listener. Cliffy says, what is Edcon's core business? Been a long time since they had an identity. I think Cliffy's 100% right. At this point, they need to reinvent themselves. So yeah, if any ideas around how we can help Edcon to reinvent themselves. I've always known Edcon or Edgars to be like a clothing store, but then they just became too broad in terms of doing everything. Love to know your thoughts. Okay, let's get into some of these dinner recipes. So if you're sitting in the car, you're waiting for someone, waiting to pick up someone, or you're thinking of something for dinner this evening, let's look at these. Okay, so one of the easiest things is to do leftovers. So leftovers usually work well, but most of us don't like leftovers. Well, there's a way to really ramp up your leftovers. So I know often we tend to kind of just shove stuff in the fridge and then it goes old and then sadly it kind of disappears. So the cool thing about leftovers is that you can take something and you can really make it awesome. So take an example of like a steak. You put a steak in the fridge after you've had it for dinner, you put it in the fridge, take it out the next day. What you can do with that steak is you can actually cut that steak up into small pieces, pop it into a salad, just pop it in with some lettuce, some tomatoes, some bit of basil, bit of that, and you've got an awesome steak salad. Now, as I say, it's easy, it's convenient, and it's pretty tasty as well. So that's my first one that I'm giving in terms of using leftovers, and you can use that as a dinner, and you're just changing it around a little bit. It changes into a bit of a salad. And another one, listener sending in one saying that one of the things that they do is they do a very simple pasta. So what they do is they take and since it's spring, you know, it's summertime, we like some lighter meals, not stuff that you really need to be cozy. But what you can do is you can spend some time. The evenings are lovely to have a dinner. So what you do is you just boil up some pasta. You make a homemade tomato sauce, or you put in a bit of mushrooms and cream. You can even throw in a bit of salmon. So there's some awesome ideas, and these are like pretty easy. I kind of guess it just breaks away from the tradition of what we typically eat, or end up eating horrible like junk food and takeaway. So yeah, I'd love to hear your ideas. Somebody's sending in a tuna lasagna. Well, tuna lasagna is great, but the problem with the tuna lasagna is either you've got to make it yourself, or you got to go and buy an awesome one. So yeah, tuna lasagna is a good idea as well. You can just like pop that in the oven. And another one coming in here. Oh, this is an awesome one. Fish and chips, simple fish and chips. You know, that's quite a cool one as well. I haven't had fish and chips. Yeah, maybe wrap it in newspaper. Anybody ever wrap their fish and chips in newspaper? Okay. Well, that's a little bit on what's cooking and what's happening for dinner. Keep your suggestions coming in. I'm going to collate those and we can discuss this on a weekly basis during the slot where we chat about what's cooking and what good ideas you can share with each other for dinner. Alrighty, we'll be back right after this.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
It's just gone 19 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunch Bite with myself, Ian Bass, and we are covering some really interesting stories. Some great feedback coming in from our listeners. Nobody's coming up with some really great ideas here. I'm really disappointed, guys. You've got a week to think about what we're going to be cooking for dinner next week. I really need your help, and we are going to really ramp up things to get some great ideas, and actually I'll start blogging about them and I'll start writing them up so people can refer back to them in times of need when you're desperate and you're looking for some good ideas. We're going to be chatting to Javon Greenblatt. Nearly changed his name there for a moment. We're going to speaking to Javon a little bit later about, Javon is the director of operations at the CSO. We're going to be talking about the charity fundraiser and also some other initiatives that the CSO is working on. But before that, I just wanted to chat a little bit. You know, we cover a little bit about the news behind the markets and what's really happening. And I think one of the most interesting thing, with many of you out there, I know personally running a small business is really not easy, and I know you very much have the same challenges. So looking forward, we've got the budget speech coming up, the 2020, well, it's basically the 2020-2021 budget speech that's going to take place on the 26th of February, and that'll be preceded by President Ramaphosa's State of the Nation. That's the SONA speech on the 13th of February, and I think there's some real concerns, not only for individuals, but mainly for small businesses. And once again, love to hear your thoughts on that. And if we look at the tax burden, the tax burden is certainly something that's really impacting all of us. And Finance Minister Tito Mboweni really painted an unflattering picture of South Africa's economy when he released his state of public finances in the medium-term budget. That was in October last year. And he highlighted a projected tax shortfall of more than 50 billion rand as a particular concern. So we all know that the tax burden is huge on all of us, and there's a lot of talk around the potential that we could see another VAT increase or personal income tax increases. So a lot is happening, and I think a couple of things that some of the businesses are talking about, which I find fascinating to listen to, is they're specifically consumers, especially low to mid income earners, as we said, are already under significant pressure, and tax hikes could eat into disposable income and really further stifle the economic growth. So one of the things that we really want to see is more tax incentives, and government should rather look for ways to increase revenues by promoting economic growth. So once again, plugging the hole by just taxing people more is something that we should be looking at. So I'll be chatting more about that in the run up to the budget. But I'd love to hear, once again from small business owners or business owners in general, what are your thoughts? What should, government and Tito Mboweni be doing to make sure that, this burden that we're all facing can be alleviated by looking at different revenue streams? Let's talk a little bit about revenue. Well, let's talk about fundraising. A very good afternoon, Javon.
Thank you, Ian. I think people must be sick of my voice by now.
No.
I've been on the radio in the last 2 days.
Listen, Javon, you're becoming like famous here. You're becoming like we might give you your own show.
The one thing a security person doesn't want is to be famous.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, Javon, that kind of, is very much what many of us know about the CSO is that you're, and somebody once coined it as your angels. And when I say your angels, maybe not your personalities, but I'm just kidding with you. But I think, what people say is you're very much in the background. And I think CSO has very much played such an important role for all of us that we often don't, we don't see you. So, out of sight, out of mind.
I think that's probably one of the greatest tributes to the organization and one of the greatest flaws to the organization in our ability to be out there and to fundraise and to be recognized and to get our message across, because of the work that our amazing staff and volunteers do on a day-to-day basis, mostly quietly in the background. You know, by success, people don't get to see the actual work that we do because of our presence, because we are out and about and protecting our schools and our shuls and our facilities and our community. Thank God nothing has happened, and I truly believe that when you look at what's happening around the world, in places that 2 years ago you would never believe an attack would take place, a hate crime would take place, especially against the Jewish community, sure. They're happening. And I think really our success is in the fact that we've had a presence for 25 years. It's getting stronger and stronger. And we quietly just get on and do what we need to do. And that really, I believe, is the reason why this country hasn't, or this community hasn't experienced something like that.
That's incredible, Jovan. And as you say, it's extremely difficult to share the successes of an organization that has to keep information very much confidential. You have to keep a lot of stuff under wraps, and that is part of what you're there for. So it's kind of that safety net that everybody knows we've got, but it's not stuff that you can really talk about. So we were joking a little bit off air about about this bodyguard of David Cameron's that left his gun in the loo, a loaded gun in the loo on an airplane. And we can laugh about it and we can make fun of it, but it's a very sensitive topic, and it's not something that we can openly talk about it. But you put a massive amount of training and effort into ensuring that protocol is observed and that all the volunteers and everyone is well equipped and is operating within the law and operating with safety first.
Absolutely. I suppose it comes down to two things. It's the amazing training that we do give, and the amazing people that put themselves forward and week after week and year after year continue to come through to training to upskill themselves so that they can do their work effectively and efficiently outside their facilities. So a huge amount of effort, time, and cost goes into training our protectors, training community members. And then there's a culture within the organization, and that's just as important as the training. I suppose the two go well, two go together. And it really is that, you know, if you are there to protect others, how can you be negligent, unprofessional in the way that you operate? And it's testament to the amazing people we have that they take this seriously. And this really is a massive part of their lives. You know, you talk about giving tzedakah, and you can give tzedakah in many ways. What people don't realize is the sacrifice that our volunteers make on a day-to-day basis, both in training and standing outside. That's probably the highest tzedakah that you can possibly give.
That's amazing, Jovan. And I think we're going to chat a little bit. We're not going to avoid the charity, because I think that's been a very important part of what's been happening over the last day and continuing into today. But when we come back from the ad breaks, I'd just like to chat to you a bit about, and I'm going to give you time to think about it, is that what more can we do as a community? And everyone, as you say, it's about a culture. Let's chat about that when we come back.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
It's 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. So if you're heading back to the office, or you've got to grab one of your kids from school, or pick them up, don't grab them, pick them up from school at 1 o'clock, you've got 9 minutes to get there. We're continuing our discussion with Jovan Greenblatt. Jovan is the Director of Operations of CSO. Just before the break, Jovan was telling us about how much commitment and effort, the community puts into the CSO and gets involved, and all the training that goes into it. Jovan, that training doesn't come cheap.
No, it doesn't. It's probably amongst the best training in the country.
Sure.
When you look at the quality of training to those that are actually tasked with protecting us and paid to do so, ours rates with that or probably much higher.
That's incredible.
Really an immense amount. Our instructors are absolutely phenomenal. They put a huge amount of effort into ensuring, because, you know, we're training our own to protect our own.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. And we have as much responsibility to ensuring that our protectors have the best skills and the best tools available, as it is to, as is our responsibility to ensure that the community itself is safe.
Mm.
Our protectors are our community. So an immense amount of effort and time and cost goes into training to ensure that they get the very, very best. And really it's there for the taking, you know. There are many that do security and they don't really have the time to, so they train at a different level. But we make sure that the training is there for those that want it, and we encourage people to sign up and get involved and do our courses, anything from the basic awareness courses all the way through to our advanced protector courses, which is an 18-week course, where you really come out probably with skills that you can not only use on the streets and protecting your community. But in life at all, we push you to the limits. And it really is a phenomenal life experience beyond giving you the skills. The one other thing that I think is very important is, you know, we've always said that once upon a time, the CSO protected the community and the world has changed around us. So really now this is a partnership between the CSO and the community where we provide the protection to a certain degree. We provide the training, the skills, the knowledge, the know-how. But really what it comes down to is the community empowering itself to protect itself.
That's amazing.
And we've done that at various levels, all the way from, as I say, our protector courses. And something that we really are going to focus on this year is our body and mind program, getting it into the schools to train kids, self-defense, situational awareness, parents, fathers, mothers. And please God, from there, those individuals then go on to doing more training and getting actively involved and coming on board.
So Javon, you're not saying that to be part of the CSO, you need to be hugely fit and you've got to have a bodybuilder physique and you've got to be able to leopard crawl and do all these things. There's so much more to the CSO and this training, this life skill training that you talk about, which is body and mind and also self-defense and that. What ages, like, how, if somebody's interested, what ages are you starting these courses at?
So, we're looking at anything, and we have done some sessions with, kids from, probably from primary school.
Right.
Obviously each training, each kind of course is tailor-made to the age group.
Okay.
So from the youngest to the oldest, we've had people in their late 60s doing the advanced protection course, which is exceptionally physically intensive, and we've got everything in between. So there's no age to this.
Oh, wow.
And the truth of the matter is, when you look at what's happening around the world, the better trained you are, the better prepared you are to deal with something.
Yeah.
But you know, we analyze every single attack that happens around the world. The one that happened in on Hanukkah at the rabbi's house, where someone walked into the rabbi's house, that was foiled a little late, and things could have been done better and differently. But that was foiled by a community member picking up a table and flinging it at the person, having the presence of mind to do so. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't highly trained. Then on the other hand, maybe if they had been better trained, it would have been over quicker. But everybody can do something, eyes and ears, even if you're not physically capable. As long as you can stand, or when you're arriving at shul, if you see something out of the ordinary, a door open, a window, et cetera, just say something, report things. Everybody can play their part, and everyone can be an active part of securing their loved ones and their community.
So, Javon, if people want to get involved, if listeners want to get involved and they want to find out more about these courses, what's the best way?
So I keep on forgetting to bring the right email address, so I'm going to put it out there again. If anyone is interested in any way in getting involved in the organization at any level, they can email me. My email address is Javon, J-E-V-O-N-G, at cso.org.za, and then I'll pass it on to the right people to contact them.
Thanks, Javon. Before we let you go, give us a quick update, because there's a lot of activity going on downstairs. Tell us, how's the charity fundraiser? It ends at 7 this evening, am I correct?
Yes, so it ends at 7 this evening. It started at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Our call center, which is downstairs from the offices, from the studio, are packed with people. Thank you. Throughout the day. We've got community members coming in and making phone calls to random people. We got volunteers who already give so much coming in and making phone calls. We got people donating small amounts, large amounts across the board. And really, just this thing would not be possible without the community. I got to tell you, I was a cynic before this. I was doubtful of how well and how supportive the community would be. But I'm proven wrong a million times over. They have been amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for your,
just under 5 million.
Yeah, so you talk about a million times over, you're talking 4.8 million. So well done. If you still want to contribute, if you still want to donate, you can go to the charity website. That's charity, charidy.com/CSOJHB. Javon, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it.